woman tried many physicians, and she grew worse. So to Jesus she came. But when they tried to restrain her, she just whispered these words through her pain. Oh, it's touching Jesus. That's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Just believe when you call on his name. Now I was bound when I knelt at the altar, and they said Jesus could meet my every need. But when I finally touched Jesus, he set me free. Oh, praise his name, I'm free indeed. Oh, it's touching Jesus, that's all that really matters. And that's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch him. Oh, just believe.
God bless you. This is 139 in your hymn book.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. And then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet, now the Comforter with me. Oh, he abides, yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. Oh, for the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once more, for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly, and all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Yes, he abides, oh, he abides.
God bless you. It's good to be in service this evening. We have a reason to rejoice, since the Comforter abides with us. Amen. Several announcements and prayer requests here. Lord willing, on youth Bible study for ages 15 to 30, single, never been married, will be Thursday, January the 30th here at the church. That's on a Thursday evening, 7:30 to 9:30. The following evening, Friday, January the 31st, will be the youth Bible study for ages 10 to 14. That's also from 7:30 to 9:30. Lord willing, they'll be covering the first part of Romans. Young people are encouraged, should read Romans chapters 1 through 7. Parents are encouraged to make these chapters part of your family devotions. I know we've been enjoying reading those, so looking forward to that. The church would like to invite the young people to go to the True Word Tabernacle Banquet in Bluffton, Ohio. The church will provide transportation and chaperones for any youth wanting to go to the banquet. The recommended age is 13 and up. The banquet will be on Saturday, February the 15th. The banquet is $30, and the hotel costs will be shared evenly. If you plan to go, Brother Trevor needs to know an official answer on that as soon as possible. So they know for traveling and those types of things. Registration is due by February the 1st, so if you have a desire to go, please let Brother Trevor know as soon as possible, or for sure yes or no on that. That would be helpful. God bless you. Brother Jeffrey and his wife welcomed their fifth child, a baby girl, into the world Thursday morning their time. That's the brother from Africa, right, Brother Trevor? Yes, so praise the Lord for that. And an update on Sister Crystal's Wright's grandpa. He's home from the hospital, doing much better. He was just severely dehydrated. So I guess I should put that under the testimonies, but we're glad to hear that he's doing better and that the Lord restored him. I have a testimony here. Brother Gary Simmons said he was very sore right after the accident Sunday night, but the brothers laid hands on him, prayed for him, and he wasn't sore at all when he woke up on Monday morning. Brother Steve Ricketts was released from the hospital after being examined after the accident Sunday night, and he's doing well. By the grace of the Lord, they're both here. So let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. It's good to have them both in service, and glad that the Lord restored them. Sister Anna Pearson's a prayer request. It says, a lady from my work asked me to remember her mother in prayer. Her mom's name is Yolanda. She is diabetic and has leukemia. She went to the hospital last night because her liver is failing. And please remember Jimmy Burkett and his wife, Sister Laura, in prayer, as they have a long road of recovery ahead of them, and the doctors still have some serious concerns about Brother Jimmy's injuries. That was the couple that had been in a car wreck down in Monticello, Kentucky. So definitely want to remember them in prayer. Please remember the LaFontaine family in prayer. Brother Paul's dad, Brother John LaFontaine, passed away on Monday evening. Prayer request from Sister Michelle Fowler. urgent prayer request for a mother from my children's school. Her name is Tiffany, and she was struck by a drunk driver on Sunday while walking into a church for the first time in years to learn more about God and faith. Along with extensive other injuries, the swelling in her brain is not being controlled, and the doctors are going to do an emergency craniotomy to attempt to alleviate the pressure on her brain and save her life. Wow. My. Just pray that God touches that sister. Sister Xavier from Sri Lanka that we had prayer for Sunday evening passed away on Tuesday. Please remember her family in prayer, and Brother Chris from Beckway as he travels to be with the family during this time. And please remember Sister Patty Art in prayer. She had a mammogram last week and the results came back abnormal. They want to do a biopsy but are unable to do a needle biopsy, and so she will need to have surgery next Tuesday for that biopsy to take place. So please remember her in prayer. That's from Brother Jimmy. Let's also remember Brother Buckles in prayer as he continues to recover there in rehab. Got to see him the other day. He just seems in good spirits, but I know he's looking forward to getting back as soon as they'll let him. And please remember Christian Stutzman in prayer. He's having an allergic reaction. We don't know the cause. It's hives all over his body. He's thankfully not having any issues with breathing, but he's in quite a bit of discomfort. So covet your prayers in that situation. You know, we come to church and I read all these, and Brother Furman often just says, "Well, we serve a prayer answering God," but that's not a mantra that we just. These are just really needy prayer requests, but we truly have a. We can go back to the cross, and we can know that it's done tonight. We can accept what He's done for us by faith, and I believe we'll get testimonies from some of these. Brother David, it's good to have you back with us, Brother David Eplin. Sorry, should have been more specific. All the Brother Davids, would you come up and pray over these prayer requests? God bless you. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to make known by an uplifted hand? Amen. God sees your hand. God bless you.
Also, really quick, many of you probably seen this on Facebook already, but update on my dad. He asked me to thank you again for praying for him. But he just got back from the doctor. It's 31 months after he was diagnosed with this terminal cancer, and they gave him just a few months to live. It has not spread one bit. And in fact, they said there was no sense of you treating it because he'd be dead before it could do any good, but they're going to start treatment on him coming up in a week or so. These requests that we've heard are serious requests. There's no doubt about that. But don't ever let the doctor or anyone tell you that there's not a God that can take care of every bit of that. So thank you again for your prayers. And can we pray? Dear Lord, it's such a privilege to be here, gathered again together with believers, Lord, and to still be in a position where we can come and worship you freely, Lord. And that's not an option for everyone, Lord. And so we appreciate it. And it helps to get together and to bind our faith together, especially when we have very serious requests like a number of those that were read tonight, Lord. And we're just so thankful that we can touch Jesus, Lord, that there is a high priest and there is a healer, and that we have access to him. There's no one we have to go through. We can go directly to you and make that appeal, Lord, and we're doing that tonight. And we're not just making that appeal, we're believing it, Lord. We believe that every one of these requests, Lord, that you're going to come and you're going to touch. Some of them sound very dire, Lord, but to you, it's all under control. And we know that, and we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies that we have heard, Lord. And again, I fully expect we're going to hear many more come from this these requests tonight. And Lord, we just invite you down into the service with us, Lord. We want you to open our hearts, help us put out anything out of our minds that might distract us from you, Lord, and open us to hear what the pastor has for us, and touch him and anoint him to bring to us exactly what it is you would have us hear today, Lord. And we just thank you all for it and give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. This is number 40 in your hymn book. If the brothers would please come at this time.
Savior, we enter the glory land. Won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land. Won't it be wonderful there? joyously singing with harp bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One. Won't it be wonderful there? The Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, having no burdens to bear, joy. One night while long life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear, and my desperate cry stand. When I drifted far, my Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Now Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I had drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time. Then Jesus stepped in, said, "This one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm since he walked through my store. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. Oh, he made a way when there was no way that I could see. rescued my soul and calmed all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me, he came looking for me.
Amen. We're blessed that he came looking for us. Scripture said we love him because he first loved us. So if you love him tonight, you're blessed to know that he had to love you first. Amen. What a blessed people we are. Well, I'll miss somebody, I'm sure, doing this, but good to see Brother Jalou and his family back with us. And Sister Lori, good to have you back in our Amen corner from being gone to Texas and different things. So, amen. Good to be in church tonight. Good to see Brother Steve and Brother Gary with us, and amen, in good health. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. The enemy tries to fight and upset, but there's one thing about it. Brother Ram said, Satan cannot take you until it's God's time for you to go. So, amen. Why should we worry when we're walking with the one who controls the winds and the waves and the seas and all about it? He knows all about it, doesn't he? Well, I think, as far as I can see, unless somebody's hiding somewhere, I think it's all home folks tonight, so it's hard for us anymore to have a service where it's just all home folks. So we'll just have church tonight, not worry about, well, why is so-and-so here and what's going on there or there or whatever, and we'll just have church tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I felt led tonight. I was running a little late getting here because I was planning on, my plan was to pick up where we left off last week with the 9 spiritual gifts. And as I began to study that, it seemed like God just kept taking me another direction. And so when he does that, I find it's best to follow his direction. But I was prepared for what I had in mind, but I wasn't prepared for what he had in mind. So I was scrambling things and trying to get everything together and doing slides while my wife drove. And I'm not a very good passenger. Bryant's aren't very good passengers, we find. Sister Tina can amen back there. She's been having to drive Brother Anthony around for a while with him having a big boot and not being able to press the gas pedal. So you can argue and debate on whether we're good drivers or not, but we'll admit that we're not very good passengers. So appreciate her patience with me on the drive here. And good to be in church. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we enter into the Word this evening. And I know Brother Furman had mentioned the requests and things before. I also wanted to say, had a word of prayer with Brother Daniel Cooley in the basement before I came up. He's pinched a nerve in his shoulder and just want to remember him in prayer. And also want to remember again the LaFontaine family losing this loved one, Brother John, and just all the requests that we had, different ones in need and facing different situations. And yet so wonderful to hear all the testimonies that came in as well. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you're a creator. Lord, you're a healer. You're a provider. Lord, you're the giver of every good gift. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your presence that we feel here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just help me to get myself out of the way for whatever you'd have me to do or say tonight in the service. I pray that you would have preeminence in a way that only you can. Father, I just pray that, Lord, you would help me to follow the channel that you've led me down, Lord, for the notes. Now help me to get under an anointing and an inspiration to preach what you have on my heart. And I pray that you'd just be with each one in the service tonight. Lord, may we go out of here with a greater knowledge of you, with a greater desire to serve you. Lord, may we go out of here on fire for the kingdom of God, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1, and just want to read one verse there. And before we continue on with the nine spiritual gifts, I want to look at this thought of the will of God. I think before we can find out what position that God is trying to place us in as far as a gift in the body or a placing in the body, we need to find out what his will is for our life. And so I think it's a good place to interject this tonight. The will of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So we find that he wasn't just speaking to a group of people in a city of Ephesus some 2,000 years ago, but he was also writing this to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So how many believes you're identified with the group that he was talking to? Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Furman was having technical difficulties tonight before he got up here, and as I mentioned, I was rushing and trying to get here and running a little late. So usually we find when all that's going on that the Lord has something good in store for us. So we'll just be expecting for him to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can think or hope. And, you know, God has a way of doing things like that. I was thinking the other day about that scripture and thinking about different things that Brother Branham tells us just about going beyond the curtain of time. And I know I've touched on it before, but you know, he tells us there was no word that could describe what he was seeing over there. He said sublime wouldn't touch it, perfection, any English word that he could come up with to describe. He said that wouldn't even touch what it was. And as I mentioned recently, the dream I had of my grandfather on my mom's side that had passed away and how just seeing him there in a dream and him trying to describe what the body change was like, he said there's no way that I could describe it. So you think of something so sublime, so perfect, so incredible that someone who had seen it and been there couldn't describe what it was like or what it would be like. And well, that's just the waiting room in the sixth dimension before we get to the real place where Jesus is at. And so you can imagine if there's no word that could even describe just beyond the curtain of time and not the millennium, not the 1,000-year reign with Jesus Christ himself with no sickness, pain, or suffering, no aches, no gray hairs. And then that's not even what it'll be like when we get into the new heavens and the new earth and the city comes down out of heaven, ascending, and like a bride adorned for her groom. And can you imagine what it'll be? No wonder Paul said it hasn't entered into the hearts of man. And that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could think or hope or expect. You know, many times we come to church and we're expecting something. And as I heard a brother say recently, I don't want to say too much because it's his testimony, not mine. But a brother had shared a testimony with me the other day, and he was expecting something good, but he wasn't expecting as good a report as what he got. And so many times our expectations, we think, well, Lord, I believe you can do this, and we set our expectations at a certain level. But many times God goes so far beyond what we could have ever expected or anticipated. He's wonderful, isn't he? Paul says that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Notice it wasn't by the will of Paul, wasn't by the will of Timothy, wasn't by the will of the Sanhedrin or St. Peter or anybody else, but he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Amen. There would have been no other way that this man could have been an apostle of Jesus Christ except it had been by the will of God. He was doing everything he could to persecute the church. He was doing everything he could to come against the church. But I want to say tonight that it doesn't matter how many demons out of hell try to upset. It doesn't matter what anybody says or does or tries to hinder or even what you think or feel yourself. You cannot change the will of God for your life. Amen. He will find you somewhere. He will get a hold of you somewhere. Some of the circumstances in your life may be worse than what they could have been if you would have got into the channel of the will of God for your life earlier, but he will get you to the will that he has for your life. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, not by his own choosing, not by the selection of his mommy or his daddy or his godly priest or the teacher Gamaliel that he sat under. No doubt to all of them, that would have been the last thing that they had in mind for him to be, but he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So we find that if God ever chooses you, it's not a man-made choosing. It's not mommy placed or daddy placed or pastor placed, but it's the will of God for your life that places you. Amen. You may have been raised in the message. Your parents may have taught you about the Word of God. They may have set you down and read you the Bible stories because they were trying to instill something in your life, but you weren't called and elected and ordained by mommy or daddy. But if you was called and elected and ordained, it was because God had you in his thinking before there ever was a beginning of time. He had you in his thinking, and it didn't matter what anybody tried to do or how much Satan would try to hinder it. If you're his, as I was telling the church in Liberty there on Sunday, Jesus in St. John chapter 13 there, when he's washing the disciples' feet, it said, Jesus, knowing that he had come from God and that he went to God, in other words, knowing that he was come from Spirit and that he would go back to Spirit, he knew where he came from, so he knew where he was going to. Brother Branham said that man there, the monk, was trying to witness to the king back in the old times, and he said he was standing there trying to talk to the king about Jesus, and all of a sudden there was a window open and a little fire burning over on the side bringing some light, and said the bird, this little sparrow, began to fly through the open window because it saw the light burning, and it came in and flew around and around and went back out the window, and the king asked him, said, where did he come from and where did he go to? And Brother Branham tells us there's only one book in all the world that'll tell us where we come from and where we're going to, but I can tell you, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to depend on some group or some man or some doctrine to place me in it. I know by the grace of God tonight where I came from, and so I know where I'm going back to. There stood Judas and Jesus, maybe wearing the same brand of sandals. Maybe the same woman was the one that sewed their robes. I don't know what it was, but there they were, both of them in flesh, standing in clothes. They're eating the same bread and dipping in the same sop. But one of them came from one place and he was headed back there. And another one came from another place and he was headed back there. Amen. So there's something about where we came from. Something about a deep that's calling to a deep that you recognize there's a hunger and a thirst for God that I didn't deserve it and I didn't choose it, but he placed it in me. Why? Because you came from somewhere else. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Make your calling and election sure. Just don't do it because, well, somebody else does it this way. We can't compare our experiences. We can't compare our faith. We can't compare, well, you know, I felt to do this. And when I did that, God did this for me. And so if you go through these same motions, it's not about going through the motions. It's about getting in tune so much with the will of God in your life that he's the one that's leading and guiding. And maybe to everybody else you look crazy, but if it's God, you go ahead and do it anyhow. the believer's position in Christ, 1955. Brother Branham said, now when you have a call from God, that doesn't altogether mean that you just jump right out and you're doing the will of God. You have to find the will of God and the time of God to do it. So you can absolutely be called to do something and get ahead of God's will and get ahead of God's time, and many times it'll cause a problem. You see, many people that you know, gifts and callings are without repentance, and maybe them feeling a call of God on their life, but getting ahead of the time of God and the will of God, sometimes it'll bring a reproach actually on the kingdom of God. It wasn't that they didn't have a call, but maybe it was that they tried to run out and do something without stopping first to see, is this the will of God or is it not? You remember many times in the scriptures, we find that they would go and they would consult God before they would go out to battle. And whenever they did that, they was always victorious. But there was other times when they just go on out in their own strength and not consult God. And we'd find them falling on their face every time that it happened. So it would be behooving to us to learn by the examples that was left for us. And when we go to do something, not just consult mommy or daddy or the deacon or the pastor. That's okay. It's wonderful to get counsel, but we better make sure that we're consulting God to see if we should do something instead of just running out. Maybe it's something good. Hey, when David said, should I go up to fight the Philistines? It was a good objective, but if it wasn't in the will and the timing and the purpose of God, he would have failed regardless how good his intentions was, regardless how good his motive was. He had to get in the channel where God could use him. We find one time there he was, and the Philistines had gone out to fight Israel, and here he is left in the background because they said, well, maybe he'll join back up with the Israelites if he goes and fights with us. And he comes back to Ziklag, and here his whole family, all of his sheep, all of his oxen, all of his goods, everybody else that was following him, all of their wives and children, and everybody was taken away by the Amalekites. And they begin to cry out and say, oh my. And the people even talked of stoning this man that they'd been following. You see how quick popularity and the opinions of people can change. Yet he was called, yet he was anointed to be the king. Yet because the circumstances had changed so drastically, now the people began to turn on him. But he didn't say, oh well, I guess I'll just give up because the people aren't for me anymore. Oh, I guess I'll just give up because my ministry's not as popular as it used to be. It said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. There's many times we lean on the arm of flesh and then the arm of flesh begins to fail us. But there's one thing you can do no matter how dark it gets, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter if your mommy and your daddy and your best friend turn your back on you or whoever it is that walks away from you, encourage yourself in the Lord. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Many times we need to stop trying to encourage ourselves with everybody else's pats on the backs because those will come and go. But encourage yourself in the Lord. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Brother Branham, many times in the prayer lines, he said, if I didn't see a vision or if I didn't feel a peace about it with God, instead of casting that thing off of the person, he said, I would just pronounce a blessing and send them on. He said, because many times with the divine gift, he said, maybe God has placed something on somebody for a reason. Maybe it's to get their attention, to get them back into a condition of fellowship with God, or maybe it's because they have to be in a certain hospital at a certain time to be a witness to a certain nurse or whatever it would be. And he said, and if God has placed that on them for a reason, and then with the divine gift you take that off of the person, he said, then you're in trouble with God. He said, now if other men want to try that, he said, that's okay. But he said, I'm very careful about those things. Now John tells us that he wished above all things that we should prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospereth. So we see there's a contingency here. There's a parallel that God wants to bless us, but he wants to make sure that our soul is prospering as well. See, a lot of people get up and they preach prosperity. Oh, God's going to bless you financially. God wants to heal you. God wants to give you a bigger house and a bigger plane and a bigger boat and a bigger car and all these different things. And hey, maybe he does, but I'll tell you this. God won't be the one that's doing the blessing if your soul's not prospering as well. See, they don't want to tell that side because then the tithe checks get smaller and smaller when they begin to start dealing with people's souls and the way they're living and things like that. But John didn't say, God's just going to prosper you and God just loves you and wants to give you everything. He said he wants you to prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. So we find the will of God, if you come up for healing, if you're in a condition for healing, then God wants to heal you. But if you're out here living in sin and all these different things and doubting and unbelieving, and doing all kinds of things that you shouldn't be, and then you come up for prayer. Now we can pray, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and you might go out of here and feel like you could run a troop and leap through a wall, but if you're not living right, that's going to come right back on you, because you can be a sinner and be healed, but you can't stay a sinner and stay healed. You don't have to be a Christian to be healed, but you have to be a Christian to stay healed. Now, many times we look at just prosperity of finances and things like that, and we say, well, I guess it's blessed of God because of that. Brother Bram said the businessmen, the Christian businessmen there in the 60s, they begin to testify in that way. Oh, God is with us because he blessed us with a bigger building and with 10 more Cadillacs and all these different things that they were going through. And he said, hey, prostitution increased 40% last year as well. Just those type of financial blessings doesn't mean that God's with you. Now, that doesn't mean if God blesses you financially that God's not with you either, but that's not the weighing, that's not the meter of whether the blessings of God are with you, whether you're financially blessed or not. If so, then might there be some weeks where I am blessed, and other weeks, I'm so stressed. So my bank account isn't my blessing meter from God. But how my soul is prospering, that does show how that my relationship with God is. And so God's desire is to see you prosper in health. That's his will. It's his desire that you would prosper. But it's also his desire that your soul would prosper if you want those things. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So we find that if you're going to be in the will of God, you can't go around and say, well, bless God, I'm in the will of God, and I'd be out here as a fornicator or a liar or a murderer or a drunkard or all these things. It's contrary to the word of God. So it's contrary to the will of God. When God is going to do something, if it's his will, it won't be contrary to his word. It'll be right in line with his word. That's why people come up to me and they say, oh, Brother Nathan, I just feel led to stay home and not go to church. And I think, well, I don't know who it is that's leading you, but it's not Jesus. Because he won't lead you contrary to his word. Now, that doesn't mean that God has to lead you to go to this church. There's plenty of churches to choose from, but God will lead you to go to church because Brother Bram said, God goes to church. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, oh, well, I am the church. Yes, but he also said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So unless you've got a multiple personality, then you can't assemble yourself together by yourself. And if you have a split personality or dual or quadruple or whatever personality you got, then we'll come up here and lay hands on you and cast that devil out. And then you can come to church with everybody else and stop talking to all five of you back at home, you know, that you think you're somebody else fellowship, and all five of you amen in the same tape. Well, you schizophrenic thing, come up here and we'll cast that thing off of you. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Didn't just say in the good things. Didn't just say when I get my bonus from work. Didn't just say when I got the new car or when I got the new house and the carpet still smells new and all those things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So when you see somebody that's unthankful, you recognize very quickly they're out of the will of God. Remember, that was one of the signs of this age, that people would be unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, unthankful, disobedient to parents, all these different things. And my, you can look around and see even in the message ranks, there's a lot of people that fulfill those things. And many times, if we're not careful, that's the quickest one to jump on us, is that we become unthankful. But Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's his will for you to be thankful. So if you go around, don't matter what the condition, you say, Lord, I thank you for a breath in my body. Maybe I don't feel good today. Maybe things didn't go exactly my way. But hey, there's a lot of people down the road here that they don't have breath in their body, and they're buried in a tomb 6 feet under, or they're up on somebody's mantle in a little vase or something like that. So I don't know about you, but no matter what your condition, we're a lot better off than that tonight. Amen. There's a lot of people in third world countries and things that they don't know where the next dollar, where the next handful of food is coming from. They don't have a roof over their head or a good church to go to. I'm thankful tonight. I'm blessed tonight. And I hope that if I was ever in those conditions that I could still love him enough to say, Lord, even though I don't have what they have in America or other countries, I'm thankful that you gave me breath in my body. I'm thankful that you led me to know about your saving power. Even when there's millions and multiplied millions out here that don't know and don't care. Amen. We ought to be thankful tonight. It's the will of God. You want to know the will of God for your life? Be thankful. Appreciate the things that God has given you. We compare everything. If we're not careful, we begin to compare everybody. Well, why aren't my children more like Brother So-and-so's children? Well, maybe because they don't have the right kind of parent like Brother So-and-so's children do. Maybe they haven't been raised. Maybe they haven't had the time spent with them that Brother So-and-so's children have spent with them. Maybe they haven't been in many church services and had as many Bible studies and things as Brother So-and-so's children have had. So it comes right back around, doesn't it? Amen. Instead of comparing everybody with one another, we should be thankful for what we have. Why, I wish my wife could cook like Sister So-and-so, and I wish this and I wish that. Well, be careful what you wish for. Be thankful that God blessed you with somebody that would put up with you. Amen. Perseverance, 1962. You must first find the will of God before you can do the will of God. You must first know what his will is in the matter, and then don't turn it loose. Before you can do the will of God, you have to know the will of God. You have to find the will of God in your life. Somebody said, bless God, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do this. Well, is it the will of God? Well, I don't know. Well, have you consulted him? Have you consulted the scriptures? Do you know? Is it something that he would even want you to do? Is it something that you're qualified to do? Is it something that you're eligible by the scriptures to do? Before you can do the will of God, you have to find out first, is it the will of God? And then if you find out, yes, this is God's will, then don't turn it loose. Again, does God change his mind? 1965, when you find the will of God, don't let nobody talk you out of it. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. Whatever it is, if you find the will of God, don't let nobody talk you out of it. If you look into the Word and you see those scriptures, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I would that you prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is any sick among you? Bring him before the elders of the church. They shall anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and all these different scriptures. And then the doctor come and tell you, well, you know, I don't see any hope for you. Like Brother David said a few moments ago, doesn't matter what anybody says, what any doctor says, you don't have to take them at their word. You take God at his word. And when you find the will of God, don't you let anybody talk you out of it. Maybe you sought the will of God and you prayed and you were earnest and you were sincere. And Lord, who should I choose in my choosing for a spouse or whatever it be? And you got a clean cut revelation from God and you married that husband or that wife. And then, oh, the trials of life begin to come. And it wasn't mommy and daddy's house no more. And you know, you had to put your shoulder to the wheel and actually do something and actually contend with somebody else's personality and have to compromise on some things to get along. And you realize, oh, well, it's not as easy as I thought it would be. Maybe it wasn't the will of God. Oh, you said it was. You said you prayed. So either you lied the first time or the devil's lying to you the second time. When you find the will of God, don't you let nobody talk you out of it. Don't let your in-laws talk you out of it, or outlaws, or whatever laws it is. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. If you find the will of God, you stick with it. You stay true to it. Oh my, somebody in choosing a church, Brother Branham even talks about with choosing of a bride there, when God leads you somewhere and you believe that it's him, don't let anybody talk you out of it. If he leads you somewhere else besides here, don't let me or the deacons or your mommy or your daddy or anybody talk you out of it. If it's God that's doing the leading, if it's somebody guilt tripping you because you don't fall under their little circle, that's a different story. But if it's God leading you, you go where God leads you, and don't you let anybody talk you out of it. Amen. Make sure it's him that's doing the leading. Whatever it would be to do, if God leads you to a certain area or to a certain job or to do a certain thing, and you look in the Word and you look and you pray and you seek God's timing and you know that it's God's will for you to do that, don't you let anybody talk you out of it. You'll regret it if you do, because you'll be out of the will of God. I remember as a young man, you know, when Rebecca and I was getting ready to get married, and Brother Trevor and Brother Anthony and a few brothers and I went down to Brother Ron Spencer's. We'd always wanted to go to his church, and we'd heard him preach in different camps and things, but we'd never actually heard him at his own church. And so for my bachelor party, they didn't take me out and shave my head and egg me. They took me down to church in Virginia. So I thank God for, you know, brothers like that that would throw that kind of a bachelor party. And we went down and we went to service. And after service, Brother Ron came out and he said, "You preaching?" He looked right at me. He said, "You preaching?" And I said, "Well, no, not right now." I said, "You know, in the Old Testament, when a man would get married, they'd let him have two years off of war. So I'm just taking a little break here. I'm not really preaching right now." And he said, "Well, you'll be out of the will of God until you are." And I looked at Brother Trevor and Brother Anthony as if to say, "What have you been telling him?" And they said, "We ain't told him nothing." They just nodded their heads with him, yeah. But when you find that it's God's will to do something, you better do it, or you'll be out of his will until you do whatever it is that he's calling you to do. Jehovah Jireh, 1955. You know, the easy road's not always the best road. The best road is find the will of God and then travel in it. Amen, that's right. Find the will of God no matter how hard it is. Now, he didn't promise it'd be an easy road. A lot of people get this skewed idea that when they come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost that everything's just going to be smooth sailing. But you remember Brother Branham types the Holy Ghost to when the children were fighting for the homeland there, and they were journeying in the land and they were defeating their giants and things like that. And here they were coming in and possessing the land, but yet they had to fight for every inch of it to get there. And I want to tell you tonight, once you get to the Holy Ghost, that's when the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's when the battle really starts. Because before, you were just fighting with your own flesh and trying to defeat that guy. But now that the Holy Spirit has come in and his life has begun to live in you, now every demon out of hell is going to want to lie to you and tell you, "No, you never got it. No, you'll never make it," and try to put every obstacle in your way that he can. But oh, remind him that it's not going to be an easy road, but you're going to stay with the will of God, whether it's the hard road or not. He didn't promise us a picnic. He called us to a battle. You know, when the armor of God is not forks and knives and napkins and dinnerware. It's a sword and a shield and a helmet. Amen. He didn't call us to a picnic. He called us to a battle. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now, this is when the blind man has been healed that was blind from his mother's womb. And they said there'd never been a miracle like that in all of history. And Jesus heals the man. And he begins to testify to these Pharisee hypocrites. And he says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." Amen. That's how I feel tonight. If it weren't by the grace of God, I would be nothing. I could accomplish nothing. When I step out here to the pulpit, it would just fall flat and never have any good to it. If God isn't in it, it's nothing. If God isn't in your marriage, if it's not a marriage of three, you and your spouse and Jesus, it's nothing, and it's bound to fail. Amen. But you bring him into the marriage, or you bring him into the conversation, or you bring him to work with you, or you take him to school with you, or whatever it be, and it'll be a success. But without God, it'll amount to nothing. And Jesus had such an impact on this man that he recognized this is a man that's not only just a hearer of the word, but he's a doer of the word. He was actually the word himself in flesh, but he recognized that this is a man that does the will of God, and God won't hear a man that doesn't do his will, but a man that doeth the will of God, if he's be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And he goes on to say, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Oh, that people would recognize that we're not only hearers of the word, but we want to do the will of God. If they could see that at our job, if they could see that at our school, if they could see it at our family reunions and at Walmart and the gas station and everywhere we go, here comes a man or a woman that is not just interested in reciting the word, but they're interested in doing the will of God. whether it's made fun of or mocked or whatever it would be, they want to do the will of God in their life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Notice there's a stipulation there. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Many times the scripture said, you ask and you ask amiss. You have not because you ask not, and you ask not and receive not because you ask amiss. What was it? Many times we're asking, and all that we have considered in the picture is me, myself, and I. How does it affect me? What would I like to see? Oh, Lord, I'd like this and I'd like that. And we don't think about maybe how a request would affect the rest of our family and everybody else in the church and different things like that, and what the repercussions it might have 5 years down the future for our family or for our own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so when we're asking and we come, it don't matter. You can ask and ask and ask. And if it's contrary to his will, he's going to be there to try to stop that request instead of try to answer it. Now, he might do like he did with Balaam and finally just say, well, go on, you old stubborn thing, and go ahead with it. But I don't know about you. I don't want that to be my testimony. That, well, I butted my head against the wall and threw a little fit. And so finally God said, okay, you big dummy, go ahead and you can have it your way. And you're going to regret it the next 5 years. But you're going to come through victorious anyhow because you're elected. I don't want that to be my testimony. But I want my testimony to be that I was sensitive enough to the will of God that I could get in a channel to where when I asked something of God, he said, that's my son, because he's not just asking of his own flesh desire. He's not just asking so he can say, hey, look what I do, and look at the prayers God answered for me. But he's exactly in line with the channel of the Holy Spirit in his life and the plan of God for his life. Then you'll begin to fire on all 16 cylinders. But many times it's because we're pulling against the move of God instead of moving with it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now, Abraham received the promise, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And God's promise was unconditional, but God's blessings, I just heard Brother Ram say the other day, he said, Israel, there she was, and here she was in the wilderness. She was murmuring and complaining, all these things, under the covenant that God had given Abraham, and God's covenant was unconditional, but his blessings were not unconditional. He promised only to bless them when they were in their homeland. And so when they begin to fear and say, well, the giants are too big, or this is going on over here, there, God didn't promise to bless them, but the covenant was unconditional, that they were his children. And God's covenant with you is unconditional if he called you and elected you and chose you, but his blessings are not unconditional. And so when we find, we have to look and see, have we done the will of God that we might receive the promise of God? It didn't say Abraham, you know, just sat down and said, I don't think God can do it. I don't think God can give us a baby. I'm too old and Sarah's too old and all this. No, it said Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he considered not his own flesh that was dead, but he was faithful, believing that him that gave the promise could not only give the child, but once he had gave the child, believed that he could raise him up from the dead, the same one that had given him. So after you have done the will of God, then ye might receive the promise. We need patience to be able to get in the will of God and then receive the promise of God. We usually want it backwards. Bless me, bless me, bless me, and then I'll do something, Lord. Lord, if you'll bless me, Lord, if you'll just, Lord, if you'd let Aunt Susie die and I'd inherit $1 million, then I'd start paying tithes, Lord. No, you wouldn't. If you won't pay tithes on 100, you sure won't pay it on 1 million. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Romans 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You mean a saint can get into such a condition that the Spirit can begin to make intercessions for themselves or somebody else that maybe they don't even know what they're saying? Absolutely. Amen. I've seen it in action. I've seen what it produces. I find out that when God prays through me, it's a whole lot better than when I pray through me. Anybody ever have experiences like that? That you was praying, you didn't know why you was praying for that person, or maybe even why you was saying the words that you was saying, and it's always better than, Lord, could you just give me this, and could you just give me that? I want to just say and testify tonight, I don't know what the outcome will be of it all, but I believe that by faith I know what the outcome will be. But when we stood here the other Sunday morning, and Sister Tina came up, and we prayed for her, and then we prayed for Brother Hoover, I don't know that I've ever prayed under any more anointing or authority than that, and I can't work that up and make it happen and say, hey, you know what? This Sunday, I'm going to pray with more authority and more anointing than I ever have. Oh, if I could, I'd do it every Sunday, but I can't control it. But when he's here and you know that you're speaking words that you weren't thinking and you're doing things that you hadn't planned, you recognize, Lord, that's not me, that's you. Amen. So I'm in great expectations to see what the Lord will do, because he has a way of praying and interceding with things that we maybe don't even know how to say or how to perform or how to do. I believe that's not just for the pastor, but I've seen other people feel a burden on their heart for God and go to praying for somebody with a burden and maybe praying and fasting and, oh, Lord, move on the scene for this person. And before long, you begin to see God move on the scene. Right. Many times the problem is we don't get desperate enough to find the will of God in our life. It takes a desperation sometimes to drive us to those things. Jack Cole preached a sermon one time called God's Gonna Burn Your Barley Fields. And he talked about Absalom there, how that when Absalom had come back and David had banished him for a while, and then Joab sends this wise woman in to give a parable to David there to try to bring Absalom back. And now he's brought Absalom back into Jerusalem, but he hasn't ever actually gone and seen him himself. And so now Absalom begins to call to Joab to try to send and take a message to the king. And Joab didn't answer the first two times he called. And so their fields, Joab's field and Absalom's field, butted right up together to one another. And so he just sets fire to Joab's barley field. And then it got his attention, and he came running. He said, why did you set my barley field on fire? He said, well, I called twice and you wouldn't answer, so I thought I'd do something to get your attention. And the moral of the story that Brother Jack Cole was trying to tell was, don't wait till God has to set your barley fields on fire. He said he would go and he would minister sometimes and know he was going to be gone for weeks at a time. And he said he had a little curly-headed girl there that would run up to him and say, oh, Daddy, please don't go. And he said, honey, I have to go. God's calling me to go. And he said, I don't want God to burn my barley fields. He said there was a man and woman there that they had promised God they'd do this and promised God they'd do that, and they never would follow through with it. And he said one day the lady was out hanging clothes on the line, and all of a sudden lightning struck their house and began to burn it to the ground. And she ran and tried to get into the house and couldn't get in. She saw her little girl looking out the upstairs window screaming in the flames. And he said, don't wait till God has to burn your barley field. He said there was people that would call him up sometimes that had heard that sermon preached other places, and they had tried to make commitments to God, and then they dragged their feet on doing it, and they'd call him up sometimes saying, oh, Brother Cole, pray for me. God's burning my barley field. I don't want that to be my testimony. God, don't let me get to the point where you got to grab me and shake me to get my attention, but let me get in a channel where I know your will for my life. And whether it's hard or whether it's popular or whatever it is, let me walk in that calling that you've called me. Let me go where you would have me to go, say what you would have me to say. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to your school or conformed to your little clique of buddies or conformed to what the most popular girl is doing or conformed to the highest paying guy on your job or whatever. Don't be conformed to those things. Don't be conformed to the way that the world is going, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Somebody said, poor Brother Nathan, you know, I think he's lost his mind. I did, and I found the mind of Christ, and I'm so much happier. I'm so much better than what I used to be, following my own thoughts and my own selfish ways. I'm so much happier this way. Just leave me alone. Mark chapter 3, verse 35. For whosoever, Jesus was standing there, and the crowd's pressing around him, and one squeezes through the crowd and said, Jesus, hey, Lord, your mother and your brothers, they're waiting over here for you. And, you know, the crowd's all around. They've been waiting in line to talk to you. They want to see you. And he says, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Whosoever shall do the will of God, that was his family. Now, no doubt, maybe his foster brothers and sisters standing there, and his earthly mother that had carried him in her womb standing there. Maybe they were hurt by this saying, but he was trying to leave a principle for us. Whosoever does the will of God, that's my brother and that's my sister. We sing that song, he's everything to me. And then don't do the will of God. I question that. You might be able to repeat the words, and you might be able to sing it on key, but he can't be everything to you, and then you put him on the back burner every time. He's everything when my favorite sport's not in season. He's everything when overtime's not paying time and a half. He's everything when the fish ain't biting down on the river. And we could go on and on and on. Whatever it is that you sometimes put before God. If he's everything to you, then you'll do his will. If he's your father and your mother and your sister and your brother, then you'll do his will. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Many times we get this idea, well, if it's not this way, then I guess I just won't do it. If it's not this way, I won't be back to church. Or if it's not that, if Brother So-and-so's in heaven, I guess I just won't be there. I wouldn't want to be there if he was there. Well, keep that attitude and you probably won't be. But he begins to make known unto us the mystery of his will, not according to, well, Nathan, how would you do it? Or Brother Arnie, how would you do it? If you was planning the plan of redemption, how would you say it? Brother Hoover, what do you think I should redeem this person, or do you think they've done too much? And I said, I'm so thankful it wasn't according to my thought or anybody else's thought, but the mystery of his will was according to his good pleasure, with which he hath purposed himself. That means nobody else can come in and interfere with the will of God for your life. That means that he's already planned and predestinated and willed what he has willed for you according to his own good pleasure, and you and nobody else is going to come in and mess it up. Oh my, I'm so thankful that we serve a God like that. Now, there's this statement that gets made, it's been made back for centuries, about kings or presidents. I serve at the pleasure of the king. Or even back since the 1700s, those that serve the president have said, I serve at the pleasure of the president. Now, this word, Merriam-Webster says it means, it's used to say that something is done or can be done because someone wants it to be done. Well, God, I just don't understand. A lot of times we treat our Heavenly Father like we do our mother and father. But why? But why? And we all loved to hear that when we was a little boy or a little girl, because I said so. But give me a 47-page addendum explanation of why. Because the trash needs to be taken out, and I said that you're the one that's going to do it. What is it? It's something that is done or can be done because someone wants it to be done. So when we look into God's word, many times we try to think, well, I'm smarter than the plan of God, and my will is better than the will of God. And you're headed down a very bad path when you begin to think that. When you begin to look into the word of God and you see the plan of God, this is the way that the family should be ran, and this is the way that the church should be ran, and this is the way you should treat your spouse, and this is the way you should treat your children, and this is the way the children should respect the parents, and this is the way that this should be done, and this is the way the sisters should dress, and this is the way the brothers should dress, and this is the way the church order should be. And we see all that laid out because it was the good pleasure of Jesus Christ our Lord. And instead of saying, hey, it's just my duty to serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ, we say, but Lord, wouldn't it be better to do it this way? Lord, wouldn't it be better, you know? Wouldn't it be better if I did this and did that? And God said, no, here's my good pleasure. Here's the will of my good pleasure. You know, he wrote it out for us right here in black and white for us to read. You don't have to question, Lord, is it your will for me to do this? Is it your will for me to do that? We can turn back the pages of the Bible and turn back the pages of the message, and we can begin to get a glimpse into the mind of God of what his will is. But many times we come up against a spot, and, oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. Amen. What's our desire to him as Lord and Savior? See, we want him to be a healer, and we want him to be a Savior. But if he's Lord, Then when he comes, if you're serving in a kingdom and the Lord of that kingdom comes and says, hey, I want this cart moved from this hill over to that hill. And you say, well, I'm kind of busy today. I've got some other things. I got my own hay to do and things like that. No, when the Lord of the kingdom comes and says something, you say, yes, sir, right away, sir. Anything you say, sir. And we're not serving an earthly Lord or of an earthly kingdom. So whatever his good pleasure is, his bride will say, yes, I want to serve at the pleasure of my Lord. Amen. Some of you husbands, just that popped in your head, oh my, if only my wife would serve me like that. We'll start treating her like Jesus treats his bride, and she'd be more than happy to.
Amen.
See, we get that one-sided sometimes. Oh, if our little wife could just be like the bride of Jesus Christ. Well, if you could just be like Jesus, she'd probably fall right in line with your example. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I don't know about you, I'm planning on abiding forever. Amen. So how are we going to do that? Well, election and predestination, all that I understand. But if you're elected and predestinated of God, there's something down on the inside of you that will want to do the will of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Lord, I want to do it. Lord, it's my desire. If it's your desire, if it's your good pleasure, then it's my desire to fulfill that. You see sisters sometimes that struggle so much with cutting their hair and wearing their clothes down long enough and up high enough and all these different things. Oh, if they'd ever just really, truly fall in love with Jesus one time, it wouldn't be a struggle anymore. It wouldn't be a battle anymore. They wouldn't have to burn the, break the scissors and all these things and hide them in drawers that they forget where they're at and all this. So it wouldn't be a temptation. It just fall in love with Jesus one time, and it'll be your desire to do his good pleasure. Some of you brothers that struggle with lust or struggle with cigarettes or struggle with temper or struggle with all these different things, fall in love with Jesus the right way, and it will be your desire to do his good pleasure. Amen. Questions and answers, 1961. How do you feel is the best way to find the Lord's will in some important matters? I'm so glad they asked this question. Now, he doesn't give us a 5,000-page narrative of 20 steps that we have to do, but he answers this very simply. But if we can just put in action the way he answers it, I believe it'll help us to find the will of God for our life. How do you feel is the best way to find the Lord's will in some important matter? He said, I tell you, dear friend, the best way to find the will of God in some important matters is prayer. Amen. That's too simple, Brother Nathan. That's too easy. Well, I'm sorry that it wasn't harder for you. You see, we look for some big supernatural something that we can do. Well, you know, fly to Arizona and climb up on top of a mountain and fast for 40 days and 40 nights and listen to this series of sermons and memorize this many quotes and this many scriptures. And then, you know, if we had all that to do, we think, oh, but I'll go right out and do it. But when it's something so simple as pray, seek him in prayer, not just a little now I lay me, but really earnestly seek him in prayer. Get desperate before God to find an answer to this thing you're searching. Oh, well, I've just got so much on my plate, Brother Nathan. I don't know when I'd find the time. Well, then you probably won't find his will either. He goes on further in this same sermon. He says, if you have a matter that's very important, now here's the way I do it. I take it before the Lord, and it's always been my strength. I wait upon the Lord and see what he says, and I just let myself neutral to it. Don't take either side. Now, usually we do the opposite. We get way out ahead of God and say, Lord, I want it this way and I want it now. But that's not how he said to find God's will. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, the scripture said. He said, I wait upon the Lord and see what he says, and I just let myself neutral to it. Don't take either side. We have a hard time putting it in neutral. We want to be in drive, or we want to be in reverse, or we want to be in park. We want some kind of control. Either I'm staying here, or I'm moving forward, or I'm moving backwards. I'm pressing the gas. I'm pressing the brakes. We want to be in control, like when my wife's driving, you know, or Brother Trevor's wife, or anybody else's wife, I guess. We want that control. We want that other. We want them to install another brake and steering wheel and pedal over on our side so that we can have a little bit of control. But he said, just put it in neutral. Don't take either side and let God do the leading. If he's moving you forward, or if he's letting you stay, or he's taking you some other direction, Put it in neutral and don't take either side. He goes on to say, I would just wait upon the Lord and say, Lord, now you show me what's the decision to make. And then way you feel led to do it, then wait just a little bit. Then wait a little while longer. Oh, my. We can't handle all this waiting in this, you know, now age that we live in. Wait just a little bit, then wait a little while longer and see which way, which side you lean towards, which way the Spirit. Say, now, Father, in my heart, you know it doesn't matter, but I want to know what you want to do about it. That's the way I do about meetings sometimes. I kind of feel led to go this way or that way, then I follow that way. That's the way to do it, because it's in prayer then. You're doing the best you can. Now, this is all that we can do as mortals. Brother Bam said, now, he said, sometimes if it was something real important, God would show him a vision. But he said, if he doesn't show you visions, he said, then this is the way. And even for himself, many times if God didn't show a vision, he would pray about it. He would get neutral, not, Lord, I want to do this, or Lord, I really don't want to do that. He would become neutral to it, and he would pray, and he would wait, and then he would wait some more and pray some more. And if he felt led a certain direction, he would go that direction. He said, that's the way to do it, because it's in prayer. Then you're doing the best you can. Well, Brother Nathan, what if I make the wrong decision? I'm going the wrong way. Well, I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad the prophet went on with this quote and told us. And I believe if you're making a decision for God and do it the best you can, I believe God will correct you and don't see that you don't go wrong. So if you're sincere before him and not just, Lord, I want it this way, or Lord, bless God, I deserve this, or I think it should be that way, but lay before him in a neutral condition. Lord, you know my heart's desire. You know I'd like to see this. And Lord, you know, maybe I really don't want to do this over here, but God, I want to get so neutral that whatever you want, whatever your will is, Lord, that would be my desire, whether it rubs my flesh the right way or the wrong way, whether everybody's going to pat me on the back or whether nobody's going to understand it. Lord, what is your will? And then you wait some more and pray some more, and if he begins to lead you in a direction, you start stepping in that direction. And if you've been sincere and you've waited and you've prayed and you felt led in that direction, then God's obligated to come and correct you if you got the wrong leading somehow. Amen. If we'll be sensitive to his Spirit and do this and not just, well, Lord, I think, yep, that's it, that's what I wanted, and go the direction you wanted to go in the first place. That's not what he's talking about. Again, Queen of Sheba, 1960. You've got to have the right motive towards your objective. That's the way I always find the will of God. First, I think, if it's the will of God, then my motive and my objective to it. So it could be something that was in the Word of God and in the will of God, but you have the wrong motive or objective, or you be the wrong person because it's not scriptural for you to do it, or it be the wrong timing that God's not wanting you to do it right then, and it could still be out of the will of God, even though whatever it is to do is actually in God's word, but because you're the wrong person, or it's the wrong time, or you've got the wrong motive and objective, still could throw you out of the will of God. That's how, why many times we have to wait on the Lord and say, Lord, is this you? Is it your time? What would it be, Lord? There's many times that we've got in trouble by going too fast ahead of God. There's sometimes we've got in trouble by waiting too long and God having to grab a rope and drag us along a little bit. But I find if we'll just seek him and be sincere before him and keep in prayer before him, that he'll come right along and he'll lean you whatever direction it is he's wanting you to go. And there's nothing more fulfilling in all the world than knowing I'm in the perfect will of God. Amen. I know some of these minister brothers, sometimes the devil will fight us and beat our brains out about a sermon or something, and then you get out there and you begin to see the pull of the people and that they're responding and it's exactly what they needed, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm standing right geographically, scripturally, everything exactly where I'm supposed to be. Then you begin to realize, oh, God's going to come on the scene and do something. Amen, because I'm right in that channel of his will. Then there's other times where maybe, Lord, I'm stepping out here on faith. I don't know. Is this you? Is this not you? And we're waiting and we're searching and we're trying to find his will. And sometimes those are a little bit unsettling times until we can get our feet back and find out, Lord, are we really grounded in your will? Or are you just got us here in a holding pattern? Or what is this? But when you're standing there and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when you're standing there in a prayer line and you feel his presence come down, you begin to pray for somebody and they begin to feel a deep calling to deep, and they begin to feel healing begin to move through their body, and you recognize, hey, I don't care how many demons out of hell try to come through here, I know he's here and I know he sent me here. There's nothing like it in all the world. There's nothing like it as a husband and a wife to make a decision together and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that was what God wanted us to do. And maybe your family not understand, maybe your friends not understand, maybe your church brothers and sisters not understand, but you know you've looked and you've prayed and you've sought God and you're standing there together, maybe against the rest of the world. But when you know you're standing on His word and His promise and His will, there is nothing more reassuring in all the world. Amen. The disciples... You know, one time Jesus fell asleep in the boat, and they had kind of forgot who was in the boat with them, and they were a little unsure when the winds and the waves began to come up. But when he stepped out there and he placed his foot on the side of the boat and he said, "Wind and waves, peace be still." And where it was roar and tossing and the boat overflowed with water, it was about to sink, all of a sudden just whew. I bet they had a shouting fit in the boat. Because they knew where they were standing and they knew who was standing in the boat with them. They said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Something about standing in the same boat with him, you know right where you're at. You're ready. Doesn't matter if demons from Gadara or Jerusalem or wherever they're coming from, bring them on. We got somebody in the boat that's bigger than the demons. Bring it on. We got somebody bigger in the boat than the sickness. We got somebody bigger in the boat than the criticizers and the naysayers and the spectators and all the others. We've got somebody bigger in the boat with us tonight. Why? Because we deserved it? No. Because He loved us and chose us. Because we're better than somebody else? No. Because of His grace and His mercy. Amen. I'm so glad He's in the boat with us tonight. Amen. Well, we didn't get as far as I wanted to, but that's all right. There'll be another Wednesday night. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we want Your will. Lord, we don't just want our way. We don't want just, Lord, something that would rub our doctrine or our financial situation or whatever it would be the right way. We don't want something that would just make people pat us on the back and say, attaboy. But Lord, we want Your will for our life. Whatever comes, whatever goes, whether it's understood or misunderstood, Father, help us to stay in Your will. Help us to stay neutral, Lord, to where we can pray and seek You. Lord, maybe many tonight are facing decisions, and maybe they're facing criticisms. Maybe, Lord, they're at a spot in their life where they're just tired of going through the motions and they want to enter into a closer fellowship with You. And maybe they've been praying about how to seek You and how to get desperate before You and find Your will about certain things. Maybe it's how that You're going to place them in the body, or maybe it's something that they feel a gift or an anointing in their life that they don't know exactly how You're wanting to use it, Lord, and they're seeking You on it. Father, may the scriptures and the quotes and the statements that You laid on my heart tonight, Lord, may it stir up something within them. May it get their attention, Father, that, Lord, if there's a desire in their heart for more of You, then there's more of You to be had. Lord, if they've let selfish things come in their way and hinder, Lord, things being at the pleasure of Your goodwill in their life, if their family life is all out of cater because they've been selfish instead of serving at the pleasure of Your goodwill, Father, if their finances is all out of cater because instead of following Your word and serving at the pleasure of Your goodwill, they've done it their way. Lord, if whatever it would be, maybe their marriage, maybe their children, Lord, maybe it would be something, Lord, of a circumstance on their job, or maybe it's, Lord, that they've tried to find their place in church and they just don't know what it is that You're trying to have them do or say or where they fit in. Father God, may they just fall, Lord, at Your throne tonight and serve with everything that is in them the pleasure of Your goodwill. May they walk, Lord, where You would have them to walk. May they stay in a channel, Lord, of Your will, to where they could lay aside everything else that would hinder them or that would take them in a different direction than Your will. Lord, many times it's so easy to find Your will if we'll just look into Your word and recognize, oh, I'm coming up short here. This is contrary to the word. We recognize quickly it can't be in Your will. So help us quickly, Lord, to whatever it is that's holding us back from being in Your perfect will. Lord, may we quickly recognize, Lord, that's not of You. It's contrary to Your word. Help us to get it out of our life. Take away the very desire. Lord, may we stay in Your perfect will. May we seek You for our decisions, for our direction, for our placing. Help us, Jesus. May we stay in the center of your will. May we stay in the palm of your hand, Lord. May you be the one doing the leading and the guiding, not our own selfishness, not our own pride, not our own will, but thy will be done, Father, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, the more that I surrender, lighter my load, the more that I release my care, Lord, the more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more
Jesus,
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, you brought me. Oh, Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my father. He's been my mother. He's been my sister. My brother, too. Oh, Lord, you brought me. Oh, Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty long way. He's been my father, he's been my mother, he's been my sister, my brother too. Oh, he brought me, yes, he brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my bread. My life, my everything. Oh Lord, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty long way. You've been my bread, you've been my water, you've been my life, my everything. Oh, you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way.
Let's thank him once more.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, you brought me. Oh, Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus.
Spends a good part of his day trying to make me mad. Well, let's make him mad before we leave tonight. Amen. I believe we can sing this and we know it's true.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, a voice up in heaven says, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. For I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. I heard a voice of gonna pray. Oh, Satan, we're gonna pray your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna pray your kingdom down. For I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Walk with me, Lord. Oh, walk with me. Oh, walk with me, Lord. Won't you walk with me while I'm on this pilgrim journey?
Message during church that Christian is doing much, much better, and he's resting well. So I want to thank you for your prayers. Amen. Let's sing it as we go.
Me, Lord, oh, walk with me. Just walk with me, Lord. Won't you walk with me? Don't leave me alone.